This is Dr. Herbert Albarly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, on a wonderful Sunday noon, saying, how do we act upon thinking our first thought? Thinking our first thought. How do we act upon thinking our first thought? Now, that's a very difficult thing to do when we act upon thinking our first thought, because in thinking our first thought, what do? We haven't the vaguest idea what our first thought is. But we have people who think they think their first thought. Like Ingeborg, she said, after I asked her to put some colorful flowers in the flower bowl here, she said, this morning, as I was setting the table, I was thinking of taking some beautiful flowers there and putting them with the other flowers to make it look beautiful. But she said, I didn't do it because, well, she didn't do it because she doesn't want to follow her first thought. And many times others here have said the same thing. They said, yeah, that was my idea too. Yeah, I thought of that too. Yeah, that was something I was thinking about too. Well, why didn't you do it if that's your first thought? Because it wasn't your first thought. It's just that after you hear it, you think, it would have been a good idea if I had done it. It would have been a good idea if I had carried out that idea. Now, I'm going to ask you a very stupid, very irrational, a very unintelligent, and a very disgusting question. Is it ever too late to act upon your first thought?
No.
Then why don't we do it? Act upon our first thought. How do we act upon our first thought? We act upon our first thought by, if we feel like doing something, we go do it. You say, well, man, if I did everything I felt like doing, I would get myself into trouble. Because a lot of times I feel like not doing what I'm doing. And I should really be doing what I'm doing. Well, how do you know that if you followed your thought, which says you shouldn't do what you're doing, that in not doing what you're doing, you might be doing the right thing? You might really be a blessing. Now, oftentimes people come into my house and they say, oh, look at the dust on the floor. I'll vacuum it. And I just finished vacuuming it. So they vacuum the floor, because Rex had come in or out once or twice. They vacuum the floor. And I see how they vacuum the floor. They vacuum the floor right around the edge of all the furniture. Not under it, not under the bed, not into the kitchen, into the bathroom, not anywhere, not even on the porch rugs that are out there to wipe your feet on. And they don't shake them so that you keep the dirt out from in the house. They don't do it. And I say, oh, if you just leave it alone. Because here I am trying to do my things, and you're in there vacuuming away and just having a gay old time. And I think to myself, my gracious, you know, what am I doing wrong to create this? And so I say, what am I doing right to create this? I say, oh, you did such a beautiful job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're all done, and how wonderful. And they really were not all done. And so they put away the vacuum cleaner and leave me in peace. And it's so wonderful. And then Rex comes in and wags his tail under the bed, and out comes all the dust and dirt from under the bed. And so I have to get the vacuum cleaner out again and vacuum it up. And Rex says, Dad, I'm a big help, aren't I? And I say, yes, Rex, you are a wonderful help. But you see, this is what life is all about. If we follow our first thought and do it immediately, it's wonderful. Now, do I have habits? To a degree. I get up in the morning and I take a walk around the path before breakfast usually for maybe an hour or so. And I have a nice walk. And then I come back and I gather my things to take up here to the house to share with you guys. And I come up and eat and have a nice time with you guys at breakfast. And then after that, do my morning. And then at lunch, I come up here, and then after lunch, I go and take a nap. And sometimes after breakfast, if we close soon enough, what do I do?
Take another walk.
I take an hour walk. Now, wouldn't that be a great time for you to dash over to my house and vacuum it if you wanted to? If you wanted to. But the thing is, you got to do the dishes. You got to put away, clean the sink here. Five people cleaning the kitchen that one person normally does, who's called a wife, you know? Isn't that interesting? Five people messing up the kitchen, five people cleaning up the kitchen. Wow. I tell you, I'm glad I didn't get married to you. Wow. You know what I mean? This is really outstanding. Now, you could, if you wished, go over to my house and vacuum or sweep or clean when I'm not there. But you don't do that. You wait until I'm in the middle of something, or I'm on the phone, or I'm recording something, and then you come over and you want to vacuum, or you want to clean, or you want to do this and that, which is okay, because I'm untouched. What do?
You do your thing.
No, I just... And that noise? No, I just get up and go do something else. I just get up and go outside and maybe take a walk, maybe water my plants, maybe whatever. But your plants have already been watered. Nita comes over at 6 every morning and waters your plants. Well, how great that is, or at 7, whatever time you come over. And but what's your first thought? What's your first thought? Is your first thought when you get up in the morning to say, wow, do I feel good? Am I glad I'm alive? This is a wonderful world. Wow, I feel so good. And do you twinkle your nose and wiggle your nose, everything falls in place in the room. Do you feel like you're Samantha, you know? Do you feel so wonderful? And do you kick the covers off and lay there and stretch your legs and wiggle your toes and wiggle your feet and your nose and just have a wonderful time laying there, stretching out. And then Rex comes over and he kisses me and he says, Dad, it's so nice to watch you wake up. You get so much out of life before you even get out of bed. And I said, yes, Rex, that's true. And so then, what do I do next? What I do next, I go to the bathroom, then I fix Rex's breakfast, then I fix my oatmeal for myself to go along with my vitamins, and then I go to my computer and open it up to see if there's anybody that's excited about something. And I answer 2 or 3 emails, and then I jump into the bathroom, and after I've had my vitamins, and then I brush my teeth, so I get the oatmeal out of my teeth, and then I shave, and then I jump in the shower to rinse off the shaving cream, and me, and then I say, Rex, here we go. And by that time, it's time to take a walk. The sun has come up enough to lighten the sky, and it's beautiful. And so Rex and I walk outside. Now, here I am, naked as a jaybird, and it is morning. And it is 50 degrees, or it's 60 degrees. And I say, Rex, it's warm enough to go. And so we go. And as I walk, I don't feel cool. I don't feel warm. I just feel comfortable. I just feel wonderful. Because I don't put my attention on coolness or warmness. I keep saying, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Oh, I feel so good. I'm whole. I stretch my arms out and I lift up my shoulders and I lift up my head so that I pull it up this way about 3 or 4 inches, you know, until I'm 3 or 4 inches taller. Man, you should really see me. I'm just floating down that path and just having a wonderful time. And I'm feeling so good. I follow my first thought. And my first thought is huff, huff, puff. When I get up to the first the meditation bench, I sit down and I look out over my beautiful valley, and I say, how wonderful it is. I bless it, I bless it, I bless it. I sit surrounded by my pure white light of love. I say, oh, I'm so happy here. Everything is so beautiful here. Everything is so good here, you know? Okay. Then Rex is lying there waiting for me, or he's sitting on the rock surveying the valley, or whatever he's doing. He just stays close by. And then I get up, and I go over by Rex, and he looks at me and he says, I'm ready. And I said, yeah, I know. So I give him a big hug, a big snuggle hug. And he wags his tail and he sits there and he says, don't stop, don't stop. And so I say, okay, let's go. And so he sits there wagging his tail. And I get up and I go and he sits there wagging his tail. And I'm walking halfway down the hill. And then all of a sudden he looks at me and he says, hey, he's leaving me. And so he dashes after me. But I follow my first thought. I follow my first thought always to do whatever it is that makes me happy. Then I look at my tower that brings in our email signals, and I say, you are a perfect internet provider. You are perfect. You are fantastic. You are glorious. Wow, wow, wow. And it just sparkles in the morning sun. And all of our solar panels that feed our front gate and that feed our internet collector are blessed. And I walk the path, and then I see two women with their macho clothes on and their macho dogs, and the dogs are pulling them very strongly up the road and down the road, and they're smiling away and they're looking straight ahead because they'd seen me before, and so they pretended they didn't see me and they just walked on their way. And Rex, I said, Rex, you can talk to them, but stay here. So Rex looks over, and they don't pay any attention to him. They just walk on with their dogs. And so after Rex has done his morning sharing, then he comes and joins me to go further on the path. Now, are you ready to follow yourself, to follow your first lead, to follow your first thought? What is your first thought? What is your first thought? What is your first idea for yourself? If you follow your first idea for yourself, you will be having a very rich and fulfilling life. The reason is you don't follow. Now, you're going to say, well, my first thought was to go buy a car. My first thought was to go do this and go do that. No, it wasn't. Your first thought was it would be nice to have a newer car, but not to buy it. Your first thought was it'd be nice to have a horse, but not to buy it. Your first thought was, you see, our first thought's always within the limits of our consciousness. And you know you don't have the money to buy it right now. You don't have the place to put a horse. You don't have the things that would call for it. You know, we don't need another car. We have plenty of cars. Now, so, you see, if you have a thought like that, then that thought is not really your first thought. Now, if your thought is you'd like to sit in a nice Bentley that moves according to your choice of seat, you open the door, you say, Sylvia, I'm here. And the door opens, and the seat adjusts itself to exactly your position. Everything adjusts itself, and then you say, I'm secure now, and blink, the seatbelt goes around you, snuggles you in, and then the car starts. And you say, you have infinite wisdom to know exactly what to do. So I'm going to Campo to pick up something at the hardware store. And so the car drives you to Campo to pick up something at the hardware store, and you can read the paper and do anything you want because it is designed to drive comfortably along the road that it's supposed to go on, and if it meets other cars, it acts accordingly and does whatever you would do or even better, you know. Now, isn't that interesting? But would you think that? That's not your first thought. That's the kind of first thought you should have. That's the kind of first wildest dream you should have, because that's what's fun. That's what's fun. Just getting in a car, driving to Campo, to the hardware store, picking up some nuts and bolts and coming back, a very boring time. But what does Sylvia do? Sylvia waves at all the little children along the way. She talks to all the people. And she sees them rocking on their porch, and she says, Hello, Mr. Jones, how are you today? My, you look healthy and wealthy and wise. And she goes into the hardware store, and Joanne Taylor comes up to her and says, Sylvia, you're radiant. And Sylvia says, I'm a reflection of you, Joanne, just a reflection of you. And isn't it nice to be that way? Isn't it nice to be a radiant person? And you see, those are her first thoughts. Are they good thoughts? Are they the real thoughts? Sure. Now, why doesn't she do that all the time? 24 hours of the day. She doesn't do it 24 hours of the day because of one thing. Because she has other thoughts that she allows residence in her mind. And those other thoughts are, I can't, I don't, I won't, I shouldn't, I don't know how. And those don't belong there. Those don't belong there. In our minds, Any negative thought does not belong. Now, are you master enough, thinking your first thought, to release any negative thought before it gets a foothold? I would say it's a good idea. And I'd say it's a good idea to start right now, to realize that you are the master. Yeah. It's important. It's important to think our first thought, to act upon our first thought, to live our first thought. But if you ever say, no, that wasn't my first thought, it was. So, just say, no, it wasn't my first thought, and then you'll know what your first thought was. Or something like that. But begin right now. Begin right today following your first thought. And listening to that beautiful being within you that's saying to you, hey, you're great. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. I love you. Right? Okay. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Now you see how beautifully Rex sits there on the edge of the porch in the sun, just loving everything. And you know, Rex is the happiest guy in the world because he has no problem in the world. There's nothing he has to do anytime. And when you saw the dog whisperer, the little shorts on the dog whisperer, what was it he trained each dog?
To see him as a master.
I'm sorry?
To see him as a master.
He taught each dog to be at peace within himself. He was the master, and they didn't have to see him that way. They couldn't help seeing him that way. But he taught them to be at peace within themselves, not to have their nose in somebody else's business, you know, telling somebody else what they should do and what they shouldn't do, and barking at them and biting at them, you know. He taught them to be at peace within themselves. And they can even go and smell their companion or friend that's coming by and say, Trish, you know, or, hey, you're great, you know. Yeah. Think about that for yourself. Think your first thought. And your first thought is one of peace and harmony and love. And that's a wonderful way to have it. Follow that for yourself and know that as I follow it for myself, I say for you and for me, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.